Welcome to the Sunflower Conversations, where we explore the hidden disability sunflower and its role in supporting people with hidden disabilities.
Today we're going to be talking to Mark Isherwood.
Well, glad to be here. As you say, I'm Mark Isherwood, a member of the Senedd representing North Wales. I've been a member since 2003, so just coming to the end of my fourth term. Did a lot of change in that time. In the work of the Senedd and how it's structured and how it's developed as a separate parliament to the Welsh Government. But I don't think any of the change we've seen has been as huge as the change over the last 12 months in all our lives because of the pandemic.
First of all, can I ask you, what is Senedd?
Basically, it's Welsh term for parliament.
How long have you been a Senedd regional member, Mark?
I was first elected in May 2003, so at the end of this term, at the end of next month or early April, I'll have been a member for 18 years.
What led you to this career? What did you do before you got into politics?
As a child, I wasn't really aware very much of party politics, although my father was interested, not for the party I represent, as a matter of fact. My degree was in politics, and that's not learning what to think or which party to support, but learning how to think and about the broader picture, including the different political ideologies. But then I got a career in the building society sector. I think 1997, like many of us do, I was shouting at the television screen at some politician or other, and my wife turned around and said, either shut up or do something about it. So I joined up, and a few years later found myself firstly involved in local politics and then being elected to the Senedd.
I also have read that you're on the board of a number of committees. Your membership on Buddy's Autism Centre, North Wales Disability Resources Centre. Can you just tell me a little bit about the various committees that you're on?
So within the Welsh Parliament or the Senedd, there's the formal committees. So I'm currently on the Finance Committee, for example. And then there's the cross-party groups within the Welsh Parliament, which I also mentioned. And I say chair six, co-chair the seventh, which is Violence Against Women and Children. Those I chair include autism, disability, as I mentioned, well, neurological conditions, which cover all neurological conditions. So it's a wide network supported by the Wales Neurological Alliance of charities, representing conditions from more commonly known conditions like MS and Parkinson's and motor neuro disease through to the rare diseases and everything in between, stroke, epilepsy, and goodness knows what else. I'm honoured to be asked to take a number of positions in the broader community, not so much on the board as such, but things like patron for or vice president. So the North Wales Disability Resource Centre you referred to, I'm the vice president, an honorary position.
Do you ever have any time for yourself, Mark?
At the moment, not really. No, I try and get a line at the weekend, but...
what has changed for you in practical terms since March of last year? How do you think the pandemic has affected people with hidden disabilities?
Hugely. Obviously, for all of us, a year ago, we wouldn't have imagined that I'd be doing this interview with you on a screen like this. But it's also been disabling for many people who didn't have access to technology, particularly older people, but also for children and young people who couldn't attend school. And it's tended to be those who were more disadvantaged who haven't had access to equipment and haven't necessarily had the support they needed in the way that most children in most households have. We've done a lot of work with RNIB and Guide Dogs, who produced in Wales a joint report quite early in the pandemic regarding shared space.
Yeah.
And the fact that not only was there increased hate crime because people, particularly people who were blind or partially sighted, couldn't socially distance, didn't deliberately not do so, but simply couldn't see. And the redesigned street scenes and so on, in many cases, hadn't factored in disabled people at the beginning.
Yeah.
Is this something now that you've had to focus on much more?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been aware, well, 20 years nearly, of the guide dog campaigns, particularly on shared space, and been out with them numerous times in town centres where things are not as they might be, with a blindfold or a human guide dog on my arm while I can't see myself or whatever, or a white stick, getting some first-hand experience. I've also been out, for example, with somebody taking the role of carer, pushing their wheelchair and experiencing the barriers in practice that they're encountering that otherwise I only read about.
Yeah.
Unless you involve lived experience directly, you will never move beyond awareness training, which is usually done because it's mandatory, which is usually a one-off event with a plaque on the wall or a certificate on the wall and no follow-through. So how do you achieve understanding, acceptance and empowerment?
Yeah.
Well, it's quite simple, really. You talk with people because they're experts in their own lives. They can tell you immediately what the issues are and help you design and deliver the solutions and then monitor the impact of that, because we never get it right first time. So let's learn from what we do and keep improving together. It would appear at the beginning of the pandemic, partly because of the speed that everything had to change, but partly because of poor awareness and understanding, too much was changed without considering things like physical barriers, but also communication. I had a meeting yesterday with, for instance, the Cystic Fibrosis Trust. One of the biggest problems that their members had encountered was lack of understandable and clear communication when announcements were made about how that impacted on them, particularly as they were in the shielding group.
Yeah.
But we had similar concerns raised with us in a meeting I had months ago in North Wales with self-advocacy adults with learning difficulties.
Yeah.
And that's one of the key things they raised. You know, nobody's thinking about our communication needs.
The groups that you've been talking about have really had to kind of shout and push themselves to the front, but thankfully through kind of the power of the media, it has helped for them, these groups, to gain a bit of traction, hasn't it? COVID has in some respects sort of set the disability movement back quite some time because of the fact that we're referring to people as vulnerable. And I know that many groups really didn't like to have that word associated with their conditions or their disability.
The term vulnerable is, well, it's used constantly in, by politicians of all hues. It's the in word to capture everything, like the term disability in the social model. You know, people aren't disabled by their impairments. They're disabled by the barriers which society places in their way.
Yes.
And we should all work together with them to identify, agree and remove those barriers.
I know that you've said you've been inundated with correspondence from your constituencies, including businesses. What has been the main challenges that they've been reporting to you, like from the constituents, and from local businesses?
There are still issues around supermarkets now, generally, have got their acts together better in terms of delivery, but there's still issues around for many people who don't have much money over the charges or minimum orders that they can't afford. So I know that your sector's trying to persuade the supermarkets at the moment to remove those delivery charges or minimum orders. So that people aren't further disadvantaged and discriminated against.
In the news, there's been a lot of attention given to people with learning disabilities. Jo Wiley has been very vocal and using her sister's experience to bring that to the forefront. So do you see now a bit more of like a sigh of relief from the community that have got learning disabilities getting onto that register, so they're putting them to the front of the queue to get a vaccine?
I first raised this in the Welsh Parliament months ago at the request of constituents who were encountering this. And that, when I raised it, actually specifically, it was on behalf of families with members who were on the autism spectrum and have learning difficulties, or people with learning difficulties, because, as we know, the two are separate issues. And the response I got at that time wasn't very encouraging. It was very much, well, many of them will already be in one of the priority groups, so they'll be okay, won't they? Not recognising the broader issues at stake, not just for the individual, but also for carers, perhaps, as well. So I was delighted to hear the UK announcement.
You have been a poster guy for Please Give Me Space. Could you explain how you came across it?
So the RNIB notified me that they were going to be launching this campaign and asked if I would support it and promote it and do a film for them wearing the things that they posted to me, which I did, and sent it back to them. So I'm just pleased to help, not just because I was pleased to help, but because I'd had casework like this and knew it was a real issue.
Do you feel it's something personally that is needed?
Yes, it is needed. It has to be broadly understood. So what we must seek to avoid, and all the charities are saying this, is a multiplicity of different badges and face masks and goodness knows what else, wristbands and so on, all effectively saying the same thing, but specific to a particular condition. And what we need, something, something with commonality that's easily understood and shared with the broader public.
Let me just quickly ask you, what are you most looking forward to doing when the restrictions lift?
Going to the pub.
Perfect.
With my son.
Perfect answer.
And my daughters and my new grandchildren, who I've hardly had a chance to meet.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Mark. It's been really great to meet you and chat with you and find out all the stuff you've been doing.
If you'd like to share your sunflower story or conversation, please email conversations@hiddendisabilitiesstore.com. Find out more about us or listen to this recording again by checking out our insights page at hiddendisabilitiesstore.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Please help, have patience, and show kindness to others, and join us again soon. Making the invisible visible with the Hidden Disability Sunflower.